Blog Talk Radio. Your voice is strong and mighty. And all we can say this morning is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I introduce to some and present to others a new addition to Moving Forward, and that is Mother Valerie. Mother Valerie, good morning. How are you, my mother in Christ?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. This is a beautiful morning, a lovely morning. I'm good. I just thank God for this morning. It's beautiful.
Amen. Amen. All I know is we had a great, beautiful, beautiful day. You called it yesterday morning, and it turned out to be a wonderful day to the point where I was able to take my grandchildren to the park. We went and had our dinner in the park yesterday, and it was nice. But it started getting a little cool while we were there, but it was still a wonderful, wonderful afternoon and just a wonderful day. So I'm thankful. I'm grateful, and I know, Mother, that we are blessed this morning. So, Mother, I am going to turn it over to you, and I know this morning we are in Numbers. We actually started in Numbers on yesterday. And before we go any further this morning, I want to put in, know your Bible. Because, you know, when you know your Bible, you understand what you're reading. And when we go to the book of Numbers, you know, which we came into on yesterday, you know, it says the author of Numbers is traditionally attributed to Moses. That's where we continue. We say it's the part of the Pentateuch that, you know, those first five meaning, and they're written by Moses. And it was approximately 1,400 years before Jesus. And it says in 10 words or less, let's talk about Numbers. Faithless Israelites wander 40 years in the wilderness of Sinai. You know, to be disobedient, Mother. You know, when you don't have to take forever. You know, but because you don't listen and don't use common sense, you got to have another 20 years of wilderness, another 30 years of wilderness, another 40 years of wilderness, where you wouldn't have to have any had you just listened. And it goes on to tell us Numbers begins with a census. Hence the book of Numbers, the book of names. And it tells us again, 14 months after the Israelites escaped Egypt, that they numbered 603,550 men, not including the Levites and not including women and children. Since this mass of people, the newly formed nation of Israel, begins a march of approximately 200 miles to the promised land of Canaan, a journey that will take decades. The delay in God's punishment of the people who complain about food and water, rebel against Moses, and hesitate to enter Canaan because of powerful people already living there. God decrees that this entire generation will die in the wilderness, leaving the promised land to a new generation of more obedient Israelites. The Lord is long-suffering and great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression is the quotable, and that comes from Numbers 14 and 18. And I'm going to read that again. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. We are blessed beyond measure that the Lord forgives us. And the unique and unusual about the book of Numbers, even Moses misses out on the promised land, punishment for disobeying God by striking rather than speaking to a rock from which water would miraculously appear. And that's chapter 20, verses 1 through 13. And so what of Numbers? God hates sin and punishes it. We can be thankful that Jesus took. Mother Valerie, Again, good morning. I'm grateful that you are with us. I turn it over to you.
Good morning, saints of God. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm reading Numbers 3:1-4:49. Now, these are the records of Aaron and Moses when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the son of Aaron, Nadab, the firstborn of Abihu, Eleazar, and Ishmael. These are the names of the son of Aaron, the anointed priest, whom he consecrated to minister as priest. Nadab, Abihu, had died before the Lord when they offered profane fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. And they had no children. You know, when you don't walk in the lane that God put you in, they died. They offered strange fire to the Lord. I mean, you got to walk in your own lane. And I think Pastor says that all the time. If God has given you something to do, then do what God has given you to do. Walk in your own lane. So Eleazar and Ishmael ministered as priests in the presence of Aaron, their father. Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, present them before Aaron, the priest, that they may serve him. And they shall attend to his needs and the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting to do the work of the tabernacle. And they shall attend to all the furnishing of the tabernacle of meeting and to the needs of the children of Israel to do the work of the tabernacle. And you shall give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They are given entirely to him from among the children of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood. But the outsider who comes near, shall be put to death. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck all the firstborns in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborns in Israel, both man and beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, number the children of Levi by their fathers' houses, by their families. You shall number every male from a month old and above. So Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord, as he was commanded. These were the sons of Levi by their name, Gershon, Kohath, Merari, and these are the names of the son of Gershon by their families, Levi, Zibbel, and these are the son of Kohath by the families of Amrad, Ishel, Hebron, Judah, and the sons of Merari by their families, Mahath and Mush. These are the families of Levi by their father's houses. From Gershon came the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shemites. These are the families of the Gershons, those who were numbered according to the number of all
mothers from a as we go through those life lessons or numbers. You know, we have to understand God knows who each of us are. You know, he's already done an accounting. You know, the census comes, you know, every 10 years. It tells you whether your town has grown or what your, you know, God was showing the children of Israel, this is how many of you are. Because he was getting ready to test them again. And they just didn't know it. He was saying, there's over 600 of you. 600,000 of you. And I'm getting ready to test you. And he's going to send 10. 10 out into the promised land to, you know, as they say, shout it out. And my son actually said 12. Let me get it right. Because, you know, we want to have our words on point. He sends 12 to come back with a good report. And 10 come back with what we're going to do. You know, they giants in it. So we got to trust God as he tells us who we are. So, Mother, what is our life lessons from Dr. Stanley for our numbers?
The life lesson is appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood. But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. While God invites all of us to approach him, we must approach him in the way he has appointed. Today, we draw near to God through faith in Jesus. Nothing else will be accepted. God invites all of us to approach him. We must approach him in the way he has appointed. You know what? You can't go to God any kind of way. You can't, because he won't accept that. God has commandments. God has rules. He won't accept anything else. It says nothing else would be accepted. And that's true. God wants you to come the way he wants you to come, not the way you want to come. And I wonder why we always want to do it our way. I did it my way. Well, you cannot do it your way. You have to do it God's way. Chapter 4. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the children of Levi by their families, by their fathers' houses, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting. This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of meeting, relating to the most holy thing. When the camp prepares to journey, Aaron and his sons shall come. They should take down the covering veil and cover the ark of testimony with it. Then they should put on it a covering of beige skin and spread over that a cloth entirely of blue, and they shall insert its clothes. Now on the table of showbread, they shall spread a blue cloth and put on it the dishes, the pans, the bowls, and the pitchers for pouring. Showbread shall be on it. They should cover over them a scarlet cloth, and cover the same with a covering of beige skin, and they shall insert its poles. They shall take a blue cloth and cover the lampstand of the light with its lamps, its wick trimmings, its trays, and its oil vessels with which they service it. Then they shall put it with all the utensils in the covering of the beige skins, and put it on a carrying beam. Over the golden altar, they shall spread a blue cloth and cover it with a covering of beige skin, and they shall insert its poles. Then they shall take all the utensils of service with which they minister in the sanctuary, put them in a blue cloth, cover them with the covering of beige skin, put them on a carrying beam. They shall take away the ashes from the altar, spread a purple cloth over it. They shall put on it all its implements which they have ministered there, fire pans, the forks, the silver, the shovel, the basin, and all the utilities of the altar. They should spread on it a covering of beige skin and serve his pole. And when Aaron and his son have finished covering the sanctuary and all the fringing of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath should come to carry them. But they should not touch any holy thing. You can't touch any holy thing, lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. The appointed duties of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, is the oil for the light, the sweet incense, the daily grain offering, the anointing oil, the oversight of all the tabernacle, all that is in it, with the sanctuary and its frontage. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but do this in regard to them, that they may live and not die. When they approach the most holy thing, Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint each of them to his service and his test. They shall not go in to watch while the holy things are being covered, lest they die. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take a census of the son of Gishon by their father's houses, by their families, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old. You should number them, all who enter to perform the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting. This is the service of the family of the Gershons in serving and caring. They shall carry the curtains of the tabernacle and the tabernacle of meeting with this covering, the covering of beige skin that is on it, the screen for the door of the tabernacle of meeting, the screen for the door of the gate of the court, the hanging of the court which are around the tabernacle and altar and the cords, all the furnishing for the service and all that is made for these things, so shall they serve. Aaron and his son shall assign all the service of the son of the Gershon, all their tests and all their service. You shall appoint to them all their tests as their duty. This is the service of the families of the son of Gershon in the tabernacle of meeting, and their duty shall be under the authority of Ishmael, the son of Aaron the priest. As for the son of Merah, you should number them by their families and by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, you shall number them. Everyone who enters the service to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and this is what they must carry as all their service for the tabernacle is, its bars, the pillars, its sockets, and the pillars around the court with their sockets, pegs, and cords, with all the furnishing and all their service. You shall assign to each man by name the items he must carry. This is the service of the family of the sons of Merah, and all their service for the tabernacle of meeting, under the authority of Ishmael, the son of Aaron the priest. And Moses and Aaron and the leaders of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites by their families and by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old. Everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle meeting, and those who were numbered by their families, were 2,750. These were the ones who were numbered of the families of the Kohites, all who might serve in the tabernacle meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered, according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And those who were numbered of the son of Gershon by their families and by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting, those who were numbered by their families, by their father's house, were 2,630. These are the ones who were numbered of the families of the son of Gershon, of all who might serve in the tabernacle of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered, according to the commandments of the Lord. Those are the families of the son of Merah who were numbered by their families, by their father's houses, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old. Everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting, those who were numbered by their families, were 3,200. These are the ones who were numbered of the families of sons of Merah, whom Moses and Aaron numbered, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. All who were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron, leaders of Israel, numbered by their families and by their fathers' houses, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old. Everyone who came to do the work of the service and the work of bearing burdens in the tabernacle meeting, those who were numbered were 8,580. According to the commandments of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, each according to his service and according to his test. Thus they were numbered by him, as the Lord commanded Moses. Life lesson. Our holy God must judge sin, but because he is also a loving God, he takes great pleasure in showing us mercy, bestowing his grace upon us. Hard times may be a fact of life here on earth, but one day, isn't that beautiful? One day he will wipe away all our tears. That's beautiful. God, I mean, like the verse was saying, life may be hard sometimes. He said his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. I mean, I wouldn't want to fall into the hands of an angry God. I wouldn't. So I'm glad that God gives us mercy and he gives us grace. I mean, if it wasn't for the grace and the mercy of God, where would we be? We would be dead sins. There's a song called Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. And it's about a slave owner. And he treated the slaves very badly. He, you know, he would beat them. beat him with a stick. He would kick him. He would knock him. He would just do it. He looked like he'd sit up there and thought of devilish, mischievous things to do to the slaves, and he would carry that out. One day, he was looking at the slaves, and all of a sudden, something came over him, and he started to have compassion and wondered why he was doing this. And God was working through him, working on him, and the man got saved. He wrote the song, Amazing Grace. I mean, how can God save a wretch like me? He said, God's Amazing Grace. And everybody knows that song, Amazing Grace. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. If you don't know it,
amen,
Google it and listen to the words. I mean, God gave him words to other songs, but this is the song that stood out among everything that he wrote, Amazing Grace. And, it really is through God's grace. A lot of times people think that they can't be saved. Oh, I did this. I'm a murderer. I did this. I stole. I did so much. But the only thing that God won't forgive is blaspheming the Holy Ghost. He will forgive anything if you come to him, repent, and ask the Lord to save you. He'll do that. He'll forgive anything. But you can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost because you won't be forgiven in this world or the next. Life lessons,
amen,
night and day. Friends, be encouraged. Through difficult circumstances and the weight on your heart, there is a great hope for you because God is your help and deliverer. It said, weep may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And that's true. The issues that seem so insurmountable at night after you had a long, difficult day and a tired are not so unsolvable in the morning. Your situation will always appear. Your situation will always appear gloomy at night when it reflects the darkness of the midnight sky. That's why people. I know one pastor. He said, if a person have died, don't call me late at night telling me about the death. He said, really, there's nothing I can do. He said, but if you want to make arrangements and if you want to talk and you want me to pray for you, call me in the daytime, not 3 o'clock at night. Don't call me that late at night. And usually you can't get through to him anyway because only a certain amount of people have his telephone numbers. It says your situation will always appear gloomier at night when it reflects the darkness of the midnight sky. Yet when the sun rises and you spend time in God's powerful presence, you will feel a renewal of God's strength and will receive his trust and wisdom for the day. God will bring you joy as swiftly as God changes night into day. He can transform your cries of sorrow into a reason for praise. Though he may not remove the situation, he will certainly show you his powerful hand in it. Therefore, trust him. Remember that with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. And then things at night, it do seem gloomier. It do seem worse. But in the daylight and trusting God, and asking God to help you. I mean, it says weeping may endure for a night. That's at night. But joy will come in the morning if you persist in prayer and ask God, to bring you through this. It's something about the daylight. I mean, just like I keep on saying to myself, daylight saving time will start March the 12th, and it don't get dark right now. It's about 6 o'clock. And I don't really like driving at night. I can drive at night, but I don't like doing it unless I really have to. I love daylight saving time because the days are longer, and it's just beautiful. And sometimes when I'm looking out and, the sun is going down, I catch some of the most beautiful sunsets.
Amen.
I do. I mean, everything about God is just so beautiful. And it says, trust him. Remember, with God, nothing will be impossible. Sing his praises with faith, that as the sun makes its appearance on the horizon, God will show his faithfulness in your situation. You know, when you're praising God, just praise him. Praise him. You're not praising him for the bad. You're praising him in the bad. And when you constantly keep on praising God, your spirit will lift. And it really will, because you're singing praises to the Most High God. You will feel better. Just keep on praising him. And the thing about it, you have to trust God. A lot of times people will ask, I don't know why this happened to me. I was doing the right thing. I was trying to be good. I was doing this. I was giving my tithes. I was helping people. And why did this have to happen to me? Why did God allow this? We can't question God. God's thoughts and his ways are higher than our thoughts. They're higher than our ways. I mean, God knows. I mean, you can't question God like Job did. Job questioned God. I said, that's something. He questioned the Almighty God. And God told him, stand up like a man and answer me. He said, where were you when I hung the sun and the moon? Where were you when I made the animals and the stars? Where were you, Job? And Job realized, you know, that he was talking to God, trying to question God. And he closed, he put his hands over his mouth and said, I'm, you know, in other words, I'm dumb and stupid to even question Almighty God. God did forgive him for what he did. But you can't question God. God had compassion and mercy, you know, and he does. He had passion and mercy on his children. And God knows, I mean, God gets angry, and he knows sometimes we get angry. But don't let the sun set on your anger. Don't. Repent. If you get angry, just repent. Go to God, say that I'm sorry, and mean it from the bottom of your heart. God knows your heart to begin with.
Amen.
He knows everything in the heart. He knows you. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. God knew you. Oh, God is good. He's just good.
Yes, he is, Mother. Yes, he is. And when we go back into the book of Numbers, Mother, you know, it talks about you shall assign each man by name the item he must carry. You know, God tells us exactly what he wants us to take with us. And, you know, I love how Dr. Stanley put it. He said, our service is important to God, regardless of what that service is. He calls us individually to particular ministries and kinds of service, and he knows us by name. That word touched my heart. He knows us by name. God knows you. God knows me. He knows each one of our assignments. And I just, you know, I love it, you know, because Dr. Stanley has really opened up my eyes, and I hope he's opened up yours too. He really does break down our scriptures. And, you know, he tells us exactly the things we need to know and how each one works with us, that scripture. You know, and when you talk about night and day, you know, God knows us. He knows our name. He knows our thoughts. He knows our process. And he knows us in the night, and he knows us in the day. And, you know, family, when Mother was talking about the sunset, Mother, I took a picture last night that I'll send to you this morning. I want to also tell everybody, Mother is a fantastic photographer. She can take some pictures. And so, Mother, I just thank you. But I took a picture last night of a sunset. I went to see a couple of my children who were performing last night with the Boys and Girls Club. And when I, you know, was coming out of the school, I just happened to look up, and I tell you, the sunset was just gorgeous. And I thought, wow, God, to think that you love us so much, that you give us all these colors in the sunset. You give us so much grace and beauty. And I just thought, wow, it just did something to my heart because it's layered and it's just beautiful. And Mother, when you get opportunity to check your messages, I did send that picture to you, because it just touched my heart how good God is. So our theme for this morning, our word for this morning that God gave us is the voice of the Lord is strong and mighty. And so as I get ready to go into our psalm word for this morning, it says this in the word. It says, the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. And his mother looks at the picture. We'll talk about this shortly. That's what the sky looks like. Different layers of the flames of fire. You know, and it says the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And his temple, everyone says glory. We say glory to God in the highest ourselves. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give, the Lord will bless his people with peace. And as we go into this, the Bible says about the voice of God. You know, I'm going to read a proverb first, and then I'm going to go back to Psalm 29:7-9, because the voice of God is something that we each want to hear. And it says, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a lazy man and those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladdened, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. And when we talk about that little tongue, that little membrane behind our teeth, fires and situations. But the voice of God will stop it in mid-stride. The voice of God will stop that tongue from going further in a twinkling of an eye. God will mess you up. When God says be quiet and you keep on talking, God will mess you up. We got to be careful. And I'm speaking about myself. You know, sometimes we got to look at ourselves. And I had to learn a long time ago. Sometimes you just need to be quiet. Just be quiet and let God do the work. Because God will handle your problems. As I talked about the cup I have, this is the Lord God, and I will be handling your problems today. Every time I look at that cup, I want to cry. Because I know it's the truth. God handles our problems every day. All those 650,000 men of Israel, numbered by tribe, by family, each and every one had an assignment. And as mother said, they had lanes that they had to walk in. And so do we. We got to trust God and listen to his voice. And it says in the light, and what the Bible says this morning. And for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, Mother Valerie and I are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, New King James Version. And this is Blog Talk Radio. And our show, Moving Forward, we come on every day, Monday, Sunday through Friday, from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. So please join Mother Valerie and I and Sister Carolyn with the word of the day. And it says, the voice of God is mighty, inventive, and wonderful. In the beginning, when God spoke, the world created. No, I didn't say world. I said world, plural, were created. As were all the stars and other phenomena in the sky. His words formed a multitude of different animals, fishes and birds, as well as all the crops, trees and flowers that cover the earth. He opened his mouth, and man and woman were created in his image, as was the plan that would save all humanity. Genesis chapter 2, verses, Genesis chapter 2 through 3. When the word of God came to dwell with us, the Logos, our Savior, he brought us life and light, John 1 and 4. When he said, peace be still, the winds and the waves obeyed him and were calm, Mark chapter 4, verse 39. At his command, he opened the mute with speak, Mark 7, 34. At the sound of his voice, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk, and all manner of sickness was healed. Through his word, we were taught the new covenant. He said, I will put my law in your mind. Mother was talking about that in Numbers. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother say, know the Lord. But they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will give their iniquity and their sin. I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34. We will get to Jeremiah down the road. And I tell you, folks want to call him a weeping prophet. No, he was a prophet that spoke the word of God. And that's what he spoke. And if the shoe was fitting, then a whole bunch of folks just had to wear it. That was Jeremiah. He didn't play. He said, I'm young. But God uses a youth on many occasions to tell us old folks who are set in our ways, that we might be wrong sometimes. We got to listen to our children, because kids have a tendency to tell you the truth about yourself. And sometimes, it cuts like a two-edged sword. So it was that God's voice changed our hearts. And one day when he calls, when he shouts out in victory, we will recognize the voice of our Savior and meet him in the air. Mother and I have talked about this. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 17. You know what? We out. You know, that's what you got to remember. We out. We're not going to be here through all the tribulations, through all the things. We got to trust God that we are saved, that we are set free, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are friends of God. And I love how Dr. Stanley says friends, because he calls us friends too. If God's voice is so powerful, creative and wise, why don't you listen for it more? He can heal your pain, and I can attest to that. Open your understanding and lead you to triumph. Therefore, listen to him. Certainly, his voice is the best thing you'll hear all day. Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 39. When he had called all the multitude to himself, this is Jesus, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. What? We got to hear the voice of the Lord. There is nothing that enters a man from outside. And they were talking about the fact that they wasn't washing their hands, which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all food? Then he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? But from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, and murders, death, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. And I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. It says, from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered the house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, but it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now understand, Jesus was letting her know, I didn't come for the Gentiles. I came for the Jews. But this woman, honey, she was not going to let him get away from healing her child. A mother's love is powerful, even when it's dealing with the Lord. And it says, and she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for this thing, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Woo! After departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region to Decapolis, to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an edema in his feet. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha phatheia, that is, be open. Immediately his ears were open and the edema of his tongue was loose. And he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Woo! Hallelujah. Are you hearing the voice of God this morning? Are you hearing his voice? Is he speaking to you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The voice of the Lord is strong and mighty. And it tells us in the life lesson for Mark, there is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. And as we go into the next of the life lesson, Mark 7 and 37, they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. Jesus does all things well, but he also usually does them in unexpected ways. He astonishes us not only by the mighty works he performs, but also because he so often catches us off guard. What a mighty God we serve. You know, this morning, I have a tendency, I like to read stuff on the internet on occasion. But this particular thing caught my eye because it was dealing with a pastor. And when we talked about the voice of God and hearing the voice of God, you know, this particular situation was a young woman who married an older man. And I'm going to read this to you guys. And, you know, just to get the perspective, when we talk about the voice of God, and also when we talk about a man's heart, when it says in our word this morning, but from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murderous, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. And I'm going to read you this story. This is coming off of a website called Reddit. And it says, my husband wants me to be a mother to his affair child, a 29-year-old female married to a 44-year-old man, have been together for 5 years and married for 2. I met him at church, started going to when I moved cities to start my career. I work for an insurance company, and he's a pastor. I know that we have a notable age gap, but he was always kind to me and made me feel special. Anyhow, a week ago, he came home and told me we needed to talk. He told me through tears that he had been having an affair with one of our community members, 34-year-old female, and that she had been pregnant with twins. She had gone into labor. She and one of the twins died, and the other is in NICU. He said we need to step up and that he wants me to turn my office into a nursery and set up a cot in the room so we can take turns. I became distressed and told him I wanted some time to think, that I was not sure I wanted to do this. He told me that I had made a vow to him in marriage and that God had blessed us with a child, that this is our cross to bear, and that God will never give us something we cannot handle. I told him that it seemed God had given her more than she could handle, and because she had died, I know I should not have, but I was not thinking correctly. He slapped me and told me that I needed to serve my husband, that God had chosen me as this child's mother, and I needed to be his humble servant. I just feel so strange. Yesterday, I cried so hard I threw up. This woman died, yet I feel bad for myself. I feel so ugly. I wanted children and was saving for IVF. That's in vitro fertilization, because I'm infertile. But now that I have a chance to have a child and I do not want it, I feel like I'd be robbing its mother's grave. I pray to God, but if I'm being honest, it never felt like anyone was ever listening. I feel like I have truly seen my husband, and he no longer looks kind. He looks his age and very tired. I want to abandon him and the child. I'm only 29. I can start over. I have a remote job. I can take a day off when he goes to the NICU, pack my essentials, and leave. Neither him nor the child deserves this. And although this is my circus, that is not my monkey. And how would you feel as a parishioner in this congregation, you know, to know that your pastor has impregnated someone else other than his wife and then expects the wife to raise this child because the mother died? And understanding, this was an affair. He had an affair on his marriage, but yet he tells his wife that she's got to be of God. Mother, that would be the hardest thing in the world to deal with. You know, and I thought, wow. You know, how the word can be twisted. And, you know, she said he seems so kind. Everything that smiles in your face that you think is a shepherd might be a wolf in sheep clothing. And, you know, there's on Reddit, people give different opinions. And folks, some of the folks were telling me you need to leave this man. That, you know, if he's slapping you now, how's it going to be later? Because now he's just showing his true colors because you're standing up and asking questions and not just taking everything at face value. You know, the voice of God speaks to us. And, you know, she's like, well, maybe it's God telling me that this is going to be my child because I'm infertile. And, you know, and I'm saving up. You know, we don't know why she's infertile. But we do know that our God can and will watch over us. And this is what our prayer says this morning. Buckle in knees. And this is what I say, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. God of my strength, these are days when I feel like I can't do a thing right, when I don't have answers to big questions or the ability to solve complex problems. It is almost second nature to feel discouraged when life begins to spiral out of control. My heart is prone to fear. But you said that you are with me. You said don't be afraid. You are not alone. I believe you, God. I trust you. I cannot control what happens in the world around me or even in my own life sometimes. But I can let go of the need to dictate what happens and hold on to you. You always know better and give me courage when I face trials of all kinds. You know I need to be reminded. Thank you for your relentless grace that prompts me to turn to you time and time again. Your patience amazes me. Your constant help is my portion. I could not do this without you. Thank you for holding me up. What fear can you release to God today? And when I read that, I thought about this young woman, 29 years old, with a 44-year-old husband that has been a cheating pastor. You know, what do you do? So, Mother, what would you say to this young woman if she was one of the women that you had to speak to in counsel? That, you know, the pastor has gotten someone else pregnant. You know, she needs to get that word out. Or does she keep it secret and make it look like they just took this abandoned baby and decided to raise it? So what do you think how this is going to be twisted for the congregation? Mother, I'm turning it over to you as we get ready to wrap up. I just had to, when we talked about what goes in, it's the coming out of the heart.
You know what, Pastor? She needs to trust God. And that's what we were talking about today. Everybody needs to pray and trust God, look to God. So that's where our help comes. God is our strength and the joy of our life. Don't go to the phone. Go to the throne. Trust God. Trust him. Mm. And God will talk to you and help you. He will. I mean, you hear God sometimes through other people, and you hear God talking through children even. Trust God. Go to God with everything. Turn to your father because he is Abba. He is a father. So just trust God. Trust him. Believe in him. Talk to him. Pour out your heart. Cry to him. Just cry to God. Lord, I thank and praise you. Thank you, Father, for this day. For this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice. We will trust you. We will come to you. Oh, God, thank you for the sun that's coming out. I thank you. It's going to be a beautiful day, just like it was yesterday. Pastor says she went to the park with the children. And, you know, I think spring was just in everybody's heart. It was warm enough to work in the yard. It was warm enough to go to the park. And it was just a beautiful day. So, God, we thank you. We thank you for everything that you give us. We thank you. We love you. We praise your holy name. For you are a good God. There's none like you. I mean, at first I went outside. I had a heavy coat on. And then I took that coat off. It was just too heavy. I thank you, Father, for who you are. I thank you for all that you do. I thank you for this day. Bless Pastor and everything that she attempts to do today. And God, this is the day of the Bible study class. And bless Pastor Jesse and everything that she attempts to do. God, bless the ones that don't even say that they are your children. Bless them. God, give them a mind to be saved. Let us reach somebody. Let us, you know, look at somebody and tell them about you, because that's our job. And God, we will praise you. We will praise you. We will praise you in the good. We'll praise you in the bad. We will praise you. We will praise you. And Lord, keep us, ministering angels of God, in camp all around about us. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to us any kind of way as we travel up and down the road to do the things that you have ordered for us to do in this 24 hours. We thank you for our families. We thank you for the church family. We thank you for everything that you give us. In Jesus' name, it's a wrap.
Amen. Not quite. We still have a word for my sister in Christ, sister.
Oh,
and the word
okay.
for today
Amen.
Is this. The glory is not in never failing, but is in rising every time you fall. Perfect ending, four words that God has given us. Hallelujah. Thanking God for each and every one of you, and his mother has already prayed us out. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other in Jesus' name. We pray over you and yours. And, Mother, we say together, it's a what?
It's
a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Amen.
Amen. Be blessed, family, and have a great day. It's a wrap.